Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Chuck Martin's here, too, because we got a lot of good, important, a lot of important things to talk about with Chuck that we haven't finished. He's the author of Tough Management, The 7 Ways to Make Tough Decisions Easier. And Chuck is the chairman and CEO of NFI Research, which is a global idea exchange and research organization that where he works with thousands of senior executives, large and small companies all over the world. And we're going to talk about some very important topics. Actually, we're going to continue a little series that we've begun with Chuck on these 7 ways to make tough decisions easier. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. Chuck, the last time you were here, we talked about the first principle, the first of the 7 principles, clearly communicating clearly. And one of the things we talked about was the fact that not only is it important to communicate, but you got to, when you communicate effectively, you also have to listen, don't you?
Yes, more than one of our rules, if you remember, was that the 50% rule, that more than 50% of your communication should be listening, especially to subordinates. You know, back to your previous concept of asking questions and listening.
Right.
It's really paying attention to what people are saying and really reading between the lines. And that's what's critical, so that you really sort of see what's going on, not just communicate that here's what we're going to be doing, and then people they're hearing something different.
Listening is not something that most of us are all that good at. I'm afraid that if I were indicted on that charge, I would be tried and convicted and sentenced to a cruel, some kind of cruel punishment, Chuck. But thank God there's no law against not listening. But it's something...
I love the idea though. There are executives out there who say I need people who listen better. I've actually heard that recently.
I bet you have, and that's an incredible statement to make. And self as we said earlier with our previous guest Quint Studer, I made this comment that self analysis hurts. We don't gravitate toward that kind of pain, do we?
Well, no, not at all. Plus, we get into something where we do it for a long period of time, so we figure we're the best at it because I've been doing this for a long time. Who could possibly do this better? Which is one of the reasons a lot of people don't take all their vacation because, well, they can't get along without me.
That's right. Well, especially since I'm the boss, right?
Right, and if they get along without me, that means I'm meaningless.
Something's going on here. What are they up to? Chuck,
work today is great.
Let's talk about the second point in your 7 factors, and that's force the hard decisions. How do you do
yes.
that?
Well, the hard decisions are the decisions that people don't really want to make. And what happens is we surveyed people nationwide, and we said, do you make the hard decisions right away, the tough call, and does your superior? And people said, I make the tough call right away, but my superior, they all defer, they wait, they delay until the very last minute, and it's really killing us. So the perception is, from a manager-employee standpoint, is that I make the cut calls right away, but all these people around me, they just delay everything, and they're keeping me not moving. The reality is the tough calls do get deferred for as long as possible, and what that does is it paralyzes a workforce, no matter what size. So if something needs to get decided, it needs to get decided right away, and then the decision needs to be communicated, and then move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
What has to happen is people today, they tend to they make all the easy calls. So if you have an organization, everyone's making the easy calls and everyone's doing it all the time, well, then the organization isn't really going very quickly in terms of advancing. It's moving sort of slowly. And all the tough things go on the back burner. Well, what happens is some of these tough calls that get deferred, they stop someone from making another call in the organization. And then that stops someone from making another decision. And as a result, the thing is just not moving in the right direction.
I have a many years ago, one of my mentors said to me, make lots of decisions.
Oh, that's a great tip.
He said, if you know what you're doing, you'll make, some of them will be wrong, but you'll make most of them correctly. And I keep thinking, and I also keep going back to something that when I was learning how to fly an airplane on instruments, my instructor said, flying instruments successfully is making little bitty teeny tiny corrections, but making lots of them. Now, I wonder if the reason why we have a hard time making hard decisions is because we put off decisions until they get too big. What do you think?
That's exactly correct. If you think about in the course of a day, just any of your listeners who are sitting there at work, they get so many things going by their desk, and they come across something, this is so important, I need to put it aside until I have time to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And what happens is these things that are put aside that are really important, you never have time to deal with it, and ultimately they become less important.
Right. Stand by, Chuck. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with Chuck Martin. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 20 till. Stay with us. Marvin Gaye, ladies and gentlemen. The late, great Marvin Gaye. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Chuck Martin is our guest. He's the author of Tough Management. It's a book I recommend to you. And we're talking about some of the seven key principles of tough management. The first one was communicate clearly. This one is force the hard decisions. We're going to spend a little time on this. Chuck, we were talking about what actually creates hard decisions, and I think that there are, you know, we're so busy in small businesses, we have so many things going on that if you can't, I think, Chuck, if you can't make decisions quickly, if you can't learn how to triage your decisions and decide which ones need to be made right away and which ones need a little more thought, if you can't decide to do that, and if you can't be prepared to make decisions even though you don't have every single piece of information that you need, you're not going to be successful as a small business owner. What do you think?
That is absolutely correct. What people tend to do is they want to wait until all of everything is in. The reality is you have to make the decision today based on what you know today. You gather as much information as you can, you make the decision, and then you move on. And it might turn out that 3-6 months from now, that decision was not exactly correct.
Or tomorrow.
That's right. Then you modify it. That's okay. You can't make decisions based on the information that's in the future. You don't have it.
It may not have been the best decision, but at the moment that you had to make it with the information you had, it may not have been correct, but it was the right decision. I think
right.
We need to distinguish those things, don't you?
Yes. What happens is if you put two dots on a long piece of paper and you say, here's one dot, here's the other dot, I'm going from one to the other, that's my strategy and direction. If the line is, you know, goes zigzag to that dot, that's okay. What happens is you don't move towards the dot if you don't make the decision.
Right. That's
so you're
exactly
not you're
right.
Having any motion.
That's exactly right. Well, the unfortunately, we get into situations where we just feel like we need to have more information, and we don't make these decisions. And a lot of it, I think, is because of maybe of inexperience. I think the longer we're in business, we get these experiences behind us, and we use those as perspectives to help us make decisions. But if you don't make these decisions, Chuck, you're going to be eaten alive by the marketplace, aren't you?
That's exactly right. And the very large companies, the 10,000 employee companies, they have systems in place and processes, and they train a lot of the management on these things, which doesn't mean they actually act on them, but they've trained them on it. They go to their classes. In smaller businesses, very often someone has simply learned by themselves on the fly, and they've been successful sort of by gut feel. Well, people really do need to trust their gut, their instincts. Generally, people in business who are moving along and being successful, their instincts by then generally are quite correct.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually use your instincts and make the decision. I mean, get the data, obviously, make the decision, check with people around you saying, we're thinking of doing this. Make sure you have their input because someone may have a better idea than you do. Solicit information and then make the decision. One of the things that stops decisions from being made is office politics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very negative thing. And We actually surveyed this, and we asked what are the causes of negative office politics, and this is in a company of three, a company of 3 million. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's the same. Personalities, gossip, short-term view, lack of caring about fellow employees, and ambition.
Lack of trust.
Number six is lack of communication.
Yeah. What about so, trust?
Trust wasn't really one of the categories, although we know that the number one thing that people look for to be successful in an organization, what they look to their leadership for, is trust in my management. Mm-hmm. And the majority of people do not have it. They don't have trust in terms of – they don't believe that their top executives are totally truthful. And something like 90% of people say, did not list the confidence in my leadership as the number one thing.
For small business owners, I think that one of the things that happens is we think that if we make this decision badly, if we make a bad decision, that it will take us down. The longer we're in business, we realize that it might create a problem for us, but it's probably not going to take us down.
That's right. And small businesses have an advantage here because in a large business, when they make a big decision, somebody goes to the mat. They go and argue in front of the big committee, we should
do
this, and then it turns out to be wrong. They don't want to go back and say, you know, I was wrong.
Right.
They just don't do that. As a result, they keep going the wrong way. In a small business, the boss can make the decision and say, well, guess what, guys, I blew it. And it's okay. It's like, oh, he or she is human. That's a very good thing. And you actually can correct much more easily once that's the situation.
Well, and one of the things that I think we've got to do a better job of in small businesses and it's awfully nice when you have employees that once you start getting employees and you can ask these questions, is to be able to let your employees help you make these decisions.
Absolutely.
Because for so long we made them all by ourselves, and then you start building an organization, and before long you've got people you could ask, but you don't, and your employees are your brain trust.
That's right. You know what? That's very typical of the back in the dot-com era of the net startups. The CEO who started the company because they had a great technology idea.
Mm-hmm.
They started the company. They ran it. It grew beyond what they could. They were very smart on creative ways to do something with the internet, but they had no clue about how to run a business. And these businesses, once they went public, what they all did is they hired a real CEO from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then typically the person who started the company was, I don't want to say forced out, but they were often pushed aside. I mean, wealthy beyond belief. But they really were the people who were the creators. They weren't the managers. And very often in small business, someone who started the business really needs more than what they have in their back pocket right now.
One of the handiest management tools I think you can have is this question, and this is what you ask your employees. What do you think? I think that's one of the handiest management tools, and try that out today, folks. It's 10 Till. We'll be right back with Chuck Martin. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
I'm so nervous, I just sit and smile. Your house is only another mile.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Chuck Martin, New York Times bestselling author. The book is called Tough Management, The 7 Ways to Make Tough Decisions Easier, Deliver the Numbers, and Grow Business in Good and Bad Times. And Chuck, is it harder to make decisions? By the way, I want to give us your website before we go any further.
Oh, it's www.nfi, like Net Future Institute, nfiresearch.com.
And the book's available wherever books are sold, right?
It's available everywhere, all
Chuck
over the planet,
Martin, yeah.
In other countries as well.
Congratulations on it's an outstanding book. And folks,
well,
we're going to be continuing a little series with Chuck over the next few months, as we've been doing on these 7 principles. I think they're important enough that especially for small business owners, that we want to land on them and spend a little time on them. On these, with regard to these decisions, these tough decisions, do you think it gets harder or easier to make decisions when things get a little bit tougher?
It gets slower is what happens. And that's the real problem, because we tend to delay longer, and it happens with every decision. We actually surveyed the audience, and we asked, what are the 5 toughest decisions in your career that you've made? And in order, they are hiring and firing, changing jobs, laying off others, balancing work and personal life, and delivering bad news. They're all personal. And hiring and firing is the biggest by far. And
especially for small business owners.
Oh, yeah. And here's the problem. Now, Jack Welch has this theory, which he's been promoting for years at XGE, saying that you've got a 70-20-10 rule. 70% of the people are average, 20% of the superstars, you keep moving them along, and 10% of your workforce you should fire every year at the bottom 10%. Now, I think that's a bit extreme, but if you think about
it may not be something you'd absolutely practice, but it's not a bad perspective to have in your head, is it?
It's a good way to segment your workforce so that you know who's at the top, middle, and bottom. And most people will be in the middle, not in the top or the bottom. And everyone in a business in the rank and file, they know who these people are because they see them every day.
Oh, yeah.
And what people really need to do is if someone is doing a really I don't say a bad job, but a real disservice because they're a roadblock in the organization. They really need to be dealt with because everybody in the organization sees it, and then when they see that top management is not dealing with it, they lose confidence not in that person who's not succeeding, but they lose confidence in their management leadership.
It really becomes a viral kind of a dysfunctional situation on many levels, is it? Not only on performance, but on the rest of the team's opinion of management.
Well, I'll give you a story. Once when I was working at a company because it would be embarrassing to somebody. I was working at a company, and the number two person, I worked for the number one person, who is a pretty top high-level executive. Mm-hmm. The number two person he hired, he brought in from the outside, for about a year was bad-mouthing this guy in public to other members of the organization. Well, the guy ultimately left, took another job, and the boss had these really great things to say at the going away, wrote this great glowing memo. And I said, I went and saw him outside, said, that was really nice of you to write all this stuff about and say the stuff about this guy, considering what he was doing. He said, what do you mean? I said, all this stuff that he used to say about you. He said, what stuff? He was the only person in the organization who didn't know. He didn't know.
Wow.
And he's the only person who didn't know.
Well, didn't he feel dumb?
Well, didn't I feel dumb for not having told him?
Yeah,
I thought everybody knew. Mm-hmm. And very often in an organization, that gets back to the listening, where everybody knows but the boss. And it's blatantly obvious to everybody except the person who really can make the change.
How do we train our employees to make the hard decisions?
Well, you need to get them to make a hard decision and then support them on the result, no matter what happens. You need to encourage people to actually be able to make a call and say, if it's wrong, it's okay.
Take initiative.
Yes.
Move it forward. One of the things that I say is if you're going to do that, you've got to be able to say, when somebody does make a mistake taking initiative, you've got to be able to say, what did we learn, not you're fired.
That's right. We actually, in the book, have a list, a very short list of things that you need to do in terms of before you make a decision. They're very simple. Who does the decision affect? What else does it affect? What are the long-range implications? Who would oppose it in the organization and why? What's the alternative if we don't do it this way? And then when should the decision be made?
And that's a good little. That's a handy little checklist to have. Actually, you probably want to tattoo that on the palm of your hand, folks. There to help you make decisions a little quicker. Chuck, what do you think?
You put it on your wall.
Okay.
but
seriously,
decisions?
I'd write things like that down and put them on little notes that I remind myself of. It helps me out a lot. Chuck, give us your website one more time.
www.nfiresearch.com. If any of your listeners send an email to me, I'll send them for free some research showing them the differences between small, medium, and large businesses from a workplace standpoint.
I appreciate that very much. And that's they can email you from your website, right?
nfi.com? Absolutely.
All right. And the book is called Tough Management, wherever books are sold. Thanks, Chuck, for being here.
Pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.